It's time for The Bright Side, a coaching radio show for changemakers, the organizations and positive leaders creating positive change in the world. The Bright Side is sponsored by PLINK Leadership. PLINK Leadership has one big goal, to accelerate positive change. It's all based on fusing the sciences of human nature with the discipline of leadership to transform the world of work, or as we call it, accelerating positive change in a big way. And now as your host, Alexis Robin, COO and co-founder of PLINK Leadership, I'm here to bring you 10 minutes of insight, theory, and actionable tips to support you on your journey to becoming the best version of yourself. Welcome to The Bright Side with Alexis Robin. Today we're going to be talking about how to overcome whack-a-mole mentality. So what do a head of school, a bishop, and a director of a global accounting organization have in common? They all have been experiencing the following, where things that seemingly used to be kind of a 2 out of a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10 of difficulty, 1 being not difficult, 10 being exponentially difficult, the things that used to be a 2 all seem to be coming across now as a 10. This is a common theme that's showing up in some coaching that I'm doing and in some of the groups that I'm facilitating, where seemingly small things are now becoming more complex, more emotionally charged, and just harder to deal with. And the result is really feeling like the day-to-day is less controlled and less manageable and more feeling like whack-a-mole. Going through the day, leaders moving through the day constantly, snipping out one problem, dealing with another, and never getting a chance to get into that deep flow state or strategic thinking or moving forward big projects, just that feeling of constantly having to get things done and nip things off in the bud. And so the question that's been posed by some of these leaders to me is, how do I get back into flow state? I'm tired of going an inch deep, and I feel like I can't really get to anything because I'm constantly playing whack-a-mole. Things have become more complex, obviously, in lots of different areas in the world at work, in different industries. Things are more complex. We're now dealing with going back to work, being hybrid. How do you manage that? We are dealing with having to manage health safety concerns in terms of COVID protocols. Do we mask? Do we not mask? How do people feel about that? Are there political things at play? There's all this stuff that's going on. And whether you're running a school or you're leading a church or you're leading a business organization, all of these elements are at play, leading to deeper and more complexity over time. In my conversations, some of the solutions that have come up to this challenge are pretty easy and tried and true things. And I should say they're simple, not easy. So nothing that I tell you is going to be outrageously new or exotic, but chances are you may have gotten away from this. And so it will be a good reminder to bring you back. So one of the solutions is prioritization. Oftentimes I'm seeing with many of the leaders that I'm coaching now and many of the groups that I'm facilitating an inability or unwillingness to radically prioritize workflow. And what this looks like is asking the question, what has the highest likelihood of impacting our success? And the timing to address it is now. So there are a lot of things that could impact your success. And some of them might need to be seized immediately, and others might need to be seized a couple months from now or next year. And being a leader means having to make difficult decisions. And that means weighing trade-offs and making trade-offs so that you can prioritize work in a way that allows you to go deeper on one thing, to finish something and put other things on hold. There seems to be a lot of ramping up our delusions in the world at work right now that if we just put everything on our calendar and our to-do list, that it will get done. And the reality is we have to face reality. We have to be honest about what can actually get done in a certain amount of time and then make decisions about what we're willing to trade off. Because otherwise, we are stuck kind of limping along under the guise of mediocrity, getting a little bit done on 100 different things, never really making any marked progress, but pretending to, and feeling good about ourselves because we've moved an inch on many things. Now, there's a great book, Essentialism, by Greg McKeown. It was published maybe 10 years ago now, that's all about the art of doing less but better. And he talks a lot about it. So if you want to go deeper into this idea of prioritization, divesting, the art of saying no, that's a great resource for you. But in the meantime, taking a good look at what's on your to-do list and what the goals are that you've set for your team members, and asking yourself realistically, how much of this can get done in the amount of time with the headcount that we have, with the amount of resources we've put on this project? What's realistic? A lot of leaders often think that it's more motivating to people to set really big goals because there's a fear that people will get lazy if they shrink the goals. Actually, the opposite is true. When people have goals that feel completely out of reach, they tend to get less motivated to try to reach them because they feel unattainable. And so we have to create goals that feel attainable and then encourage people to stretch beyond them, because that's far more motivating than secretly knowing that your staff cannot finish something, but asking them to do it anyway with the resources they have. So I would just ask you to question that for yourself. Am I trying to motivate people through scarcity by making these huge goals, or am I trusting my people to really come through for me, giving them realistic goals and then encouraging them to stretch beyond? I think you'll be surprised at how much more discretionary effort you get when people feel like they can reach their goals. So prioritization, decide on what your trade-offs are going to be and just make those tough decisions. This is one of the leadership imperatives. The other thing to know about this is humans typically underestimate the amount of time something takes by a whopping 30%. So if you think it takes 2 days, it probably will take three. If you think it takes 2 hours, it will probably take three. So getting really clear on what's possible means facing that reality as well, that we often underestimate how long things will take. So that's the first one, prioritization. The second solution to overcoming this kind of whack-a-mole mentality where you are consistently reactive in your leadership, you're not having any time to really dig into important things like strategy, or maybe you're using your entire weekend to do strategic thinking. Maybe you're using your whole weekend to catch up on the real work and you're not finding any time to rest. Once in a while, using a weekend to catch up on work, not a big deal. If it's become a norm for you, then eventually you're going to burn out or get resentful. And so that's important to pay attention to. So the next potential solution to try is delegation. And what this takes is letting go of some control. A lot of leaders fear that if they let go of control or they give too much away, that they'll either become obsolete, things will go badly, they will get blamed. And I will tell you, people will live up to what you think of them. So if you think somebody is incapable and inept, they will live up to that. If you think somebody is trustworthy, hardworking, and competent, they will live up to that. And so when you think about delegation, here's where some leaders get it wrong. They delegate without clear direction. So they don't paint done effectively enough. They just ask for something without a lot of color and context, a lot of details, and the person is left trying to figure it out. The key about positive delegation is that you want to clarify the outcome that you want with great specificity. I would like a report. I would like it to outline these 7 things. I would like it to be in this format. I would like you to use this branding on it, right? Get very clear about what it is. This is my intention for this report. This is what it will be used for. This is what it's connected to. And here are the other projects you need to think about. So Brené Brown, in her research around Dare to Lead and daring leadership, talks about the 5 C's in her work, and talks about how to really get clear on all of the details when you are delegating something. So you can listen to this on her Spotify podcast, Dare to Lead. And once you've clarified the outcomes, you need to let go of the how. So you want to empower your employees to have autonomy to get there however they want, as long as it's legal and ethical, as long as they get to the solution or the result that you've asked for. So you clarify the result, you give them autonomy to figure out how to get to that result on their own, and then you give them permission to ask questions and to ask for support so they don't have to feel bad about coming back and asking for clarification. They don't need to feel bad about coming back and saying, wow, like I bit off more than I could chew. I can get 90% of the way there, but I need somebody with expertise in this area to finish this last piece. And that way you can assure that you will get what you need by the end versus somebody kind of faking it and giving you something that's halfway done. The last and final solution that I would offer you from moving to whack-a-mole to flow state in your leadership is to set some boundaries around your time. And this can feel hard, especially for leaders who want to be available to everybody. But it's really important to pull out the old-fashioned time blocking. Take 4 hours, one of the days of week, and block your calendar. And you can engage your executive assistant, if you have one, to really hold that space sacred. Do not give it away for meetings because it's open space and you can fit it in. That is the space to think and do deep work. And if you can give yourself that time block, you can drop in and make a mile of progress on something that's important versus getting picked at all day and making an inch of progress on 100 different things. So these are some ways to really ward off that frantic, reactive mentality where you're just kind of snipping at hanging chads all day. You're playing whack-a-mole with challenges and projects at work. Maybe you're giving yourself 3 to 5 minutes to talk to somebody in their one-on-one on each of the topics they bring, which really isn't enough to find solution. So practicing prioritization, delegation, and boundaries around your time can be incredibly effective to help you get back to that balance of deep thinking work and productivity aligned with being able to be positively reactive and solution-oriented with things that crop up that truly do need your attention in the moment. So there's that for you today on the bright side. I hope that you have a fantastic rest of your week and that you find yourself a little flow space next week with some of these tips moving forward. We know everybody is out there working hard. It's been a tough couple of years with COVID and with all the changes in the way that we're doing business. And so just hang in there. We're going to get through this. We're going to learn and grow and come out the other side stronger. This has been The Bright Side. We'll see you next time.